Blessings of God, and welcome to the Shofar Ministries program. This is Reverend Sheila Crawford, and tonight we will be looking at the Lesser Feast of Lights called Hanukkah. My husband Dan is now recovering in rehab, still on IV antibiotics, and when we return after our sabbatical on January 6th, he will be as good as new. And we, of course, do covet your continued prayers and pray for you also to have a very blessed holiday season. And be sure to recognize Hanukkah, which is this year, December 14th through the 22nd, which we will study tonight because it also is a Christian holiday, as you will see. Let's open in prayer. Abba, Father, as we soon enter the season of lights, we honor and praise you as the creator of all light. Let your countenance be bright over your true church as we lift up to you my husband in these recent prayer requests. And we ask for your divine favor as we render the enemy powerless over our lives. Most of all, we thank you for your son who has cleansed us from our major disease called sin. We ask that you soften the hearts of our loved ones so they will call upon you. May tonight's teaching be a light bulb that suddenly appears in the minds and hearts of those listening tonight. And we pray all this in Yeshua's name. Amen. So, as Dan would say, what's the latest in Israel? Okay, well, first off, Hamas is not disarming and continues to kill any Palestinian not supporting the Hamas government. I feel like we are getting some mixed messages as well from like President Trump, because first he said if they did not disarm, they would be eradicated. Now we are hearing some construction will begin in certain areas that Hamas does not control. Does that mean Hamas will remain in some areas? We think not. Then on Saturday night, he gave Hamas 48 hours to finish releasing all 13 remaining bodies, all 13, which did not happen. Except, and you got to listen to this, Hamas still had some remaining body parts from a previous return and was caught burying them, so to say they just dug up another body, although missing some parts. Gross. So, in other words, parts of a past returned body would be turned over. However, they were caught in action on surveillance from an Israeli spy drone. Then I read this morning that Hamas will have another body to turn over tonight, even though not 13, as ordered from Trump. But now, they said they will not. And, of course, you might have already heard that's because just a few hours ago, Hamas shot an RPG along with sniper rounds hitting an Israeli vehicle over the yellow line in Rafah, to which Israel responded with airstrikes hitting a terrorist infrastructure and tunnel shafts, with more strikes continuing even at this time. I think the so-called ceasefire is over and should officially be called off by Trump, which is a pride thing. But he must allow the IDF to go back and forcefully and finish the job that they were very close to completing when Trump made them stop. At this time, the IDF is expanding the yellow line, at least, and they did get Trump's permission to do that, of course. Hamas has been stalling the implementation of phase two, because that's total disarmament, because most know they just will never do that. So they need this time to recruit more fighters, many coming from the 2,000 released prisoners that were exchanged for the hostages. As well, weapons to Hamas are being smuggled in via drones and can still be self-made in some still untouched underground tunnels. And then there's also using these mini submarines from the Mediterranean. Meanwhile, President Trump, he's doing pretty good in Asia. But what was troubling to me is that during a refueling in Qatar, Trump entertained the emir and the prime minister, and he called them good people and friends on Air Force One, who we know still finance the Muslim Brotherhood, as does Turkey, who wants a part in the Gaza playbook, but Israel has put their foot down on that. Another irritation to me is that President Trump seems to have taken over Israel by making statements that appears to mean that whatever he says goes, as in Israel will not annex any part of Judea and Samaria, even after the Knesset voted to approve it. The next step would be Parliament's voting to approve. But what do you know? Netanyahu put a halt to that, and I think we all know why. What also irritated me was the closing of Jerusalem so that our Catholic vice president could tour the Holy Sepulchre, a site refuted by most archaeologists. But then Vance totally ignored the Western Wall. Why not do both at least? And the Western Wall is the living center of Jewish prayer. So, like, what message does that project? But the kicker is when he joined Trump and said that the West Bank would not be annexed and that it was a stupid political stunt that he takes as a personal insult. Really? A personal insult? Actually, if Israel did annex Jerusalem, which they have the right to do since the 67 war, well, of course, that would hinder the two-state solution, and everyone knows that. And one more little tidbit, also the once liked by many, including myself, Tucker Carlson, has turned anti-Semitic and has a son who works for, guess who? Vice President J.D. Vance. So, anyway, look for more updates in my next newsletter. That'll be in about 2 weeks, where I will cover the important meeting with China's President Xi from a prophetic perspective, which will be very interesting. And so much more in these days of acceleration to our Lord's return. All right, then you can send your end time question by email to Sheila@shofarministries.net or call the office and leave your detailed message to 440-834-9006. Also by regular mail to P.O. Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. Your love offerings are needed and greatly appreciated, which will automatically put you on our mailing list for any updates and biblical teachings. You can also donate on shofarministries.net, where all the past radio and teaching newsletters are archived for your continued learning and to refresh yourself. Okay, we are supposed to dig for hidden truths, are we not? Isn't that what Psalm 25, verse 2 says? It does. And anyway, Hanukkah is a huge golden nugget, without a doubt. And if you are a newer listener, we can assure you that you will be blessed. And for those of you who have heard this before, refresh yourselves so you can be sure to share it. It's also called the Winter's Lesser Feast of Lights, with the Greater Feast of Lights being Tabernacles in the fall. And we covered that pretty extensively a few weeks ago. So both these feasts last 8 days. And as we've said, the number 8 stands for eternity, and is Jesus' number as well, which means never ending. Man is the number 6, soon to become a 7, and Jesus will always be an 8. And there are 7 major feasts and 2 minor feasts, Hanukkah and Purim, who have a great deal in common in that they both had a huge victory over their physical enemy. Purim was over Haman's army with his 10 sons, and Hanukkah over its enemy Antiochus Epiphanes and his great army. So the Jewish uprising was started by the Hasmonean Jewish family, also called the Maccabees, which means hammer, which occurred during the intertestament times between the Old Testament and the New Testament, and was prophesied years before by the prophet Daniel in his 11th chapter. And he gave a perfect description of Antiochus Epiphanes, who was a type of the Antichrist. So a little historical background is that there have been six world empires. Egypt was first, then Assyria, Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and finally Rome. And of course, they ruled when Jesus was born. And as a revived Roman Empire will be ruling again when he returns at the end of the tribulation. This is what we believe according to Daniel's prophecies in chapter 2, 7, and 9. So let's look at the Greek Empire of Alexander the Great, who had conquered it all, but he died from alcoholism at only 33. Therefore, divided this huge empire into four sections amongst his four generals, because all of Alex's posterity were murdered, also fulfilling Daniel's previous prophecy in chapter 11, verse 4. Anyhow, we want to focus on the northeast area of the four divisions, which were Babylon, Syria, Lebanon, and included Israel, under the leadership of the Greek Seleucids, and they were from Syria. Along the year, around the year 175 BC, King Seleucus IV was poisoned by his own top minister, Heliodorus, who wanted to be king, and actually did for a while, but Seleucus had a distant brother. His name, Antiochus IV. And he lived in Rome, who as a child had been given to Rome as security insurance by their father so that the Seleucid dynasty could stay loyal to Rome and, of course, pay its promised taxes in exchange for freedom to rule on its own. And then, years later, now with their father dead, Seleucus IV became king, but he loved and missed his brother, and so was willing to exchange his own son, Demetrius, so Antiochus could finally come home. So Seleucus told his top minister, Heliodorus, to take payment money and Demetrius to Rome. However, this top minister, Heliodorus, wanted to be king himself, therefore he killed King Seleucus instead and did not go to Rome. So he did become king until Antiochus IV, by using his charm, was finally released by Rome after a lot of ransom, a different family hostage, and a continued promise to stay allied with Rome. Antiochus then overthrew Heliodorus and became king. So now Israel was ruled by Emperor Antiochus, and of course better known to us as Antiochus Epiphanes. A name, by the way, he himself chose because Epiphanes means God manifest, indicating his utmost abominable arrogance. So essentially, he was calling himself God. So later on, the people called him Epimanus, which means madman, in response to his cruelty. So again, he was a type of the future Antichrist, who, by the way, he was raised and resided in Rome. So essentially, he was a Roman with Greek ancestry. In other words, he was not Syrian or an Arab. And I point that out because many want to say the Antichrist will be a Muslim, but not likely. Especially since Daniel 9:28 says he will be from the same peoples who destroyed the temple when Jesus was cut off. So therefore, the Antichrist must at least have a strong connection to Rome. And as we have said often, we believe many things will revert back to the time of when Jesus walked, as in there will also be a Jewish temple, because the Jews are looking for their Messiah. And interesting that America was not known at that time either. And remember Jeremiah 30:11. I don't think we're going to be anywhere around this scenario. Anyhow, Antiochus IV was very charismatic and came in peacefully with much flattery, also prophesied in Daniel 11, verse 21. He even paid all the back taxes for Syria and the surrounding Roman provinces that were beginning to gain more power. Now, others were vying for the rulership of this district, but Antiochus Epiphanes attained it because everyone liked him, and they liked his style. And the people will love, at first, the coming Antichrist, that one world leader as well. And Antiochus, as will the Antichrist, made a treaty with Israel's leader, who then was the high priest, his name was Jason, only to break it a few years later, is also prophesied about Antiochus in Daniel 11, verse 23. So then Antiochus appoints Menelaus as the new high priest. Now, he was a Hellenizer, which is actually a Greek converting to Judaism, but in name only, of course. But Jason wanted his title of high priest back, so his army, while Antiochus Epiphanes was away, invaded Egypt and fought Menelaus to recapture his position. And this infuriated Antiochus, who quickly returned to Jerusalem, and in 169 BC, he went on a rampage and slew 40,000 Jews and sold many into slavery. He also made the ultimate abomination by putting his own face on the statue of Zeus, placed it in the temple, and declared himself God, demanding everyone's worship, killing anyone caught reading the Torah or keeping any Jewish law, including circumcision. He even forced them to eat pork. And he boiled pig's flesh and sprinkled its broth throughout the temple, offering swine on the altar, and stole the temple's sacred vessels, therefore stopping their worship. Later, Jesus himself refers to Daniel's writings and confirms Antiochus' abominations as a typology for the end days. And you can read that in Matthew 24, verse 15. Proclaiming the Jews will experience this again, as prophesied in Daniel 9 and in chapter 12, along with Antichrist destruction. And, of course, written in Revelation 19 as well. So, how did Antiochus' reign find the end? Well, many very scared Jews gave in and even assimilated into the Greek culture, and some even worshipped the idol to escape death. Yet, a remnant held strong, for which they underwent great torments, like whippings that would tear their bodies to pieces, and much more horrendous torture. And that's according to the first century historian Josephus. Finally, Mattathias from the priestly tribe with his five sons of the family of Hasmon rebelled and started the first war for religious freedom, a heroic revolt, killing many, even a fellow Jew, because they caught him worshiping at the pagan statue, along with killing the emperor's commissioner who was overseeing it. So you ask, why would they kill one of their own instead of just rescuing him? Because even though the Jews were forced, the Maccabees felt the Hebrews should have gone to their death before worshiping a false god. And that would apply to us today as well. And very soon, those new believers in the tribulation will have to choose whom they will serve or die. And many will. That's according to Revelation 6. Anyhow, obviously, God gave the Maccabees a lot of wisdom, courageous strength, and a lot of chutzpah. Anyhow, they moved quickly to form their army by fleeing to the hill country along with anyone willing to join. And that was for training to become guerrilla fighters. Mattathias, their father, who was very old by this time, actually died in the first year of the Maccabean Revolt and was succeeded by his son, Judah. What a name, and of course the type of Jesus, and was known as the Maccabee, meaning hammer, for he had to be like a hammer because Antiochus's army was considered the mightiest in the world at that time. Anyhow, the Maccabeans were victorious. They ousted the evil king and his army, just as Jesus will conquer the Antichrist army when he returns in Revelation 19. After that, Antiochus was called Antiochus Epimanes, meaning, as I said before, madman. And he did soon become literally insane and died. Of course, the Jews were elated over their miraculous defeat, but that is not the real reason for Hanukkah, for their joy soon turned to bitterness when they saw the temple's abomination. But they got right to work, and on the 25th of Kislev, in 165 BC, the temple had finally been cleansed and ready for rededication. However, when it came time to light the seven-branched menorah, which scripture demands must remain lit all the time, they could only find a small flask of the undefiled processed oil, enough for only one day. This special consecrated oil described in Exodus 27 would take a week to process because it had to be hand-beaten pressed olives without the use of heat. Today we call that cold pressed. And of course it's much better for you, by the way. Anyhow, here's the real miracle of Hanukkah. That lighted menorah amazingly stayed lit for 8 days till they could finish the process. It's in memory of that miracle and the rededication of the temple that most Jews everywhere today light a consecutive daily candle on an 8 plus 1 equaling 9-branched candlestick holder. The middle light was called the servant candle to light the others from right to left every sundown for 8 nights, and it's called a Hanukkah. And for us Christians, especially we honor Hanukkah, especially the 8th day, as we have figured out that Yeshua was incarnated into Mary on this day, giving a future birth to the church. And that is why we celebrate this Feast of Lights, which is exactly 280 days from his birth on the greater Feast of Lights we call Tabernacles. Yes, all the feasts have serious attachments to us Christians, but only a remnant get it and know the deeper truths of God. Aren't you glad you are that remnant? Now all you have to do is share your knowledge with others, and that's really important. And let me ask you, of course, if pushed, would you be a martyr for Christ? Is Jesus really Lord over your life? If not, he's knocking right now. Repent and ask him into your heart, and be sure your relationship with Jesus is intimate and not just some head knowledge. How do you know for sure? You're going to want to be in your word and know as much as you can about him. I'm going to leave you with the Aaronic blessing. The Lord will bless you and keep you. The Lord will make his face shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord will lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Till next time, Sha'alu Shalom, Jerusalem. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Those who love her shall prosper. And make sure you join us again. We'll be back on January 6th, and keep us in your prayers, as I will for you. God bless and shalom.
Thanks for listening to this week's broadcast from Shofar Ministries, hosted by Sheila Crawford on AM 1220, The Word. If you would like to help keep this show on the air, please visit the Shofar Ministries website, shofarministries.net. That's all one word, shofarministries.net. Once you're there, click the donate button on the left side of the page, and it will take you to the PayPal secure payment site. If you don't use the internet, you can send your check or money order donation to the following address, Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. That's Box 513, Burton, Ohio, 44021. For any questions or comments about this program, please send an email to Sheila at the following address, Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. That's Sheila@ShofarMinistries.net. Please join us next Tuesday night at 8 for Shofar Ministries right here on AM 1220, The Word. The preceding program was brought to you by Shofar Ministries.